Hey, $1 million worth of game listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Right!
I should have signed a Coke, boys, but I was selling dope, boy.
Look at that shit. What you coming, nigga?
Should have signed a Coke, boys, but I was selling dope, boy.
Montana.
Come on, Benny.
What y'all niggas expect from me? It was destiny. I grinded excessively. Put rocks on the neck of me. This coupe I got from DuPont Registry. The standard of hammer in all my rooms. I get a new Glock every week.
Yeah.
Talking that shit.
Think I'm too rich. He didn't get DJ French. That ass nigga. Responsibility come with that
opportunity. Don't want no creature. Please, lying to my
eulogy. Hosts think they using me.
They think they using me. Law endorsement, war with law enforcement. To my lawn full of Maybachs, a small portion.
I
should have signed a Coke, boys, but I was selling dope, boy.
Montana. And like sweet, got the K like skeet. Let the wave break, let the cake bake. Talking summers, I done had a whole decade straight. We might miss dinner. She on E like her manager was Kris Jenner. Brown bags on me.
Hold up.
When you get questions, you get your answers.
Yo, man.
I signed the cash money, but I was getting cash money. Floor seats next to Van Gundy.
Yo.
Head crack like I was nose diving at the Met Gala with no stylus. Huh? No, factory.
Dope, boy, but I was selling dope, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, that nigga crazy.
Oh, man, that shit crazy what he just said, man. That shit crazy, man. Yeah, I mean, that shit
you got
crazy.
That Kiss verse coming. You can't stop Kiss.
Oh, yeah, bro, I slapped the shit out of you.
Come on, Kiss. Come on. Yeah,
they hit niggas with the Rico.
Rico. Depot. Your people. No COVID.
You get your change up, just play the game proper. Sit playing with your nose or your vein popping. Knocking off
halves and zips.
Just another day at the office.
Bags and bricks.
Jeez. I was a dope boy, but I was selling dope, boy. I could have sold a dope boy, but I was selling dope, boy.
You did, yeah. Well, he's beating on the table like he
think he in jail, man.
Yeah, like he was.
Word.
You in jail, man. But listen, man, you're now tuned into $1 million worth of game.
Yes, sir.
What's so crazy is that, you know,
you do the drop live like that all the time.
Yeah, I don't be playing no games. You know what's crazy is that you talking about Kiss, and Kiss just, you know, just text me. So that was just wild, man. Yeah. Early in the morning, you know, we up early, early. This is early.
Yeah, I just seen him post something. That's crazy. See? He up 4 in the morning.
We up early. Plus, so
7
you know,
in the morning in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's about, man. That's all this shit is about. But listen, man, it's been a journey, man.
Yeah.
You know.
First of all, before you get into any of that shit, friends say, man, pull up to the crib, man. You know, we're going to do the interview.
That's just a whole nother story.
So, you know, I say, all right, cool. Get out here. He sent an address. I say, okay. French out in Calabasas, huh?
Oh, man, there's something different here.
Pulled up to the crib, man. This ain't no fucking house, man. It's a museum, man.
Yeah.
This is the motherfucking King of Prussia Mall, man.
$1 million worth of game, man.
Yeah, this shit crazy, man.
This is the motherfucking King of Prussia Mall, man. This motherfucking house is so fucking big, bro.
It's stupid big.
Stupid big, bro.
Shout out to Paul George, man.
Paul George?
Paul George.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
The basketball player.
Yeah.
Shout out to Paul George.
Oh, so you bought it from him?
Yeah, yeah. I got it from Paul George.
Wait, hold on. You bought this crib from Paul George?
Yeah, from Paul George. I guess he was switching teams.
Let me just tell you something. Because let me tell you something what you always hear. The rappers ain't really got no money. Athletes got that. All the money, especially the chicks. They always scream that out. No, because the basketball players and the baseball players, and they got the money. The rappers don't. Well, this nigga just bought a house off of an athlete that's making real paper.
Serious paper.
You called the nigga up. You getting traded. I need that.
Man.
What you want for that?
Yeah, shout out to Paul George.
Shout out to Paul George. You know,
you
that nigga.
You negotiate better. You negotiate better when they got it like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can shave off a little mill or two. He won't feel bad about it.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to him. He knocked this off. Shit,
Paul money longer than motherfucking Rodale Drive. So.
He knocked off a couple of M's.
Right. But I want to commend you, man, just because this is motivation, just to see a rap nigga, man, that I met in the motherfucking late 90s, early 2000s, maybe, who was doing Cocaine City DVDs, and now nigga got a $20 million house, man. This just one of your houses?
Yeah, like one. Got like five.
Rap money is real good, huh?
Yeah, they all $5 million and up, $10 million.
Where your other house at? New York, of course. I know you got to have one in New York or Jersey.
Yeah, one in Jersey, one in Morocco, one in Vegas. That's where I live at, you know what I'm saying?
That's
where I pay my taxes at. And one in L.A., one in Vegas, one in Morocco, one in New York, one in Jersey.
So you got this $20 million motherfucking crib here. You don't even be here.
Nah.
This shit,
whenever there's function going on, we pull up, you know what I'm saying, have a little fun here. Like I told you, man, Calabasas is like Six Flags. You got to come enjoy the rides, then you got to go back home.
Now, when you say enjoy the rides, break that shit down.
You got to enjoy the rides, man. You got to come see the ladies. You got to come kiss the cheeks. You know what I'm saying?
The ladies, you ain't got enough of the ladies. You don't get enough of the ladies. Bro, hold on. I wanted to see if you was in a relationship, bro. I'm just keeping it real. I wanted to see if you was in a relationship, right?
You Googled it.
I did. I said, let me see if he got a woman or something. French. So I typed in French Montana relationship. Can I just tell you what came up, bro?
Yeah.
It said, French Montana has been in relationship with Doja Cat, Cash Dow, Evelyn Lozada, Rosa Acosta, Iggy Azalea, Sanaa Lathan, Khloe Kardashian, Trina, Sophia the Body, Alexis Scott, Candace Brooks, Amber Rose, Drea Michelle, Jenna Shea, Keisha Dior.
He got me on there. Like
Sandra Davis.
He got me on there like a rundown thot.
Damn.
They got me looking like a thot.
Damn.
Now you can't believe everything you read.
All right, because I was like, what the fuck is going on, French? You everywhere like broken glass, nigga.
At least here, there's like Six Flags out here.
You go for the ride, then you go the fuck home, huh?
I mean, who's your neighbors? You got
Miley Cyrus live next door. I think the whole Kardashian family live right here. Jennifer Lopez live across the street. Everybody live here.
Oh, so you. You live in a serious neighborhood.
See, but you see how that was a hell of a flex right there, without flexing.
Let me ask you a question.
That nigga said, Jennifer Lopez live across the street. All the Kardashians live up here. Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a real question.
Miley Cyrus is right next to what?
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Want some real live being transparent. Do you feel as though you wish you would have did something different with one of them women that you would have had in your life?
Not really. I think everything played out the way it's supposed to play out. I don't think, you know. I came from long relationships. I've been in relationships my whole life. I finally got my freedom like 3 years ago. I felt like you when you came home when I got my freedom.
So you came out of the relationship, got your freedom, and just snapped the fuck out.
Yeah, just been living life.
Like, you know, is it possible to really have a relationship in the industry, knowing that, especially when you're on the level and knowing that, you know, everybody love attention. We live in a time where everybody love attention.
I think if you're comfortable in your space and you scratched off everything in your bucket list, then for sure you could be with somebody. If you want to have babies and you know what I'm saying, you done hitting every success level that you always dreamed about. But for me, I haven't scratched the surface where I think my peak at yet. So I'm just, I keep hustling. And I feel like, for a female, you gotta give them what they deserve. Even though they'd be like, yo, I'll be with you, even though you work this and that. Nah. Because, after a while, it's just going to be a headache.
When you say a headache, but why?
Because, you provide for them, they want time. You give them time, they want you to provide for them. And you can't do both. You know what I mean?
You got a motherfucking point.
They got a mean point.
Because I'm going to tell you like this. Any nigga that could just sit around and chill, shit. That ain't what life is about.
It ain't gonna work. It's gonna be an issue. Oh, I ain't got enough time. Then you was in Rodeo Drive all the whole week last week.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, how am I gonna get this fucking money?
Yeah.
Yeah, you right about that.
And you gotta check in every day.
Yeah, that's
Well, you don't like check. You one of them niggas don't like checking in, huh?
Nah. Cause if I feel like I gotta do it, then it bothers me.
Like, on some real shit, that's the greatest feeling.
Well, that's a part of being in a relationship. Because what if your woman felt like that? I don't want to check in. They bitch, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fuck
no.
You be, you don't want to check.
Nah, it's part of it, but you just got to be, you know what I'm saying? Your mindset got to be there. My mindset ain't there.
Yeah, because when you on your journey and you locked in and you have a relationship and a dedication to your dreams and materializing your dreams. Yeah. You can't be held back. You can't be held back. You know what I'm saying?
And you need a powerful woman that's going to help you elevate also. You
and it's not insecure, because that insecure shit, that's the most dangerous shit. Motherfucking insecure, they'll do anything.
Yeah, you need somebody powerful to help you elevate, because we all going to play the games, but who's worth to staying with?
Mm-hmm. That's real, man.
So you think everybody play the games?
You always got to have it back in your mind. If they play the games, it was worth being with them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Was that it factor?
He pre-warned all his bitches, because we going to do it. I'm going to do what I do. Yeah. My dick's coming off the shelf.
Because they're going, because, all right, put it like this, though. Put it like this. The first thing she going to do is Google me, right? And she going to see all those names. So without me even doing what I got to do, whatever it is automatically in the back of their head, oh, nah. He, you know what I'm saying? He busting moves.
Yeah, we know you busting moves. We see that DM.
The most dangerous DM.
Listen, he got the most dangerous DM in hip hop. Listen, I'm going to just say this shit. Fuck that. Fuck that. I'm going to say this shit, man. I'm going to say this about the DM. French Montana DM Diaries. I got to say it, French. I got to warn dudes. I feel sorry for a lot of you dudes out there, man. Look at my face. Look at my face. Athletes. Rappers, I feel sorry for
a lot of you.
I feel sorry for a lot of you dudes out there, man.
Yo, you know what? You know what's so crazy to me?
I'm crying.
You know what's so crazy to me, French? Out of the DMs, you know, it's like how reckless these bitches, how reckless a lot of these women is, just having niggas and just shooting it at you.
Yeah, I'm crying.
Like, I feel sorry for a lot of you dudes, man.
I'm crying.
Yeah, a lot of you
million
niggas.
Dollar worth a game.
A lot of you niggas, he going to have your woman in the butt neck and rush.
I'm going to just say this. I'm going to just say this.
they hit that nigga DM.
To all you women out there, I'm going to tell all you dudes out women, everybody, oh my God, the relationship is just. Stop worshiping these IG relationships. Stop looking at these being overly obsessed with everybody on IG. Oh my God, they're so nice. They're so nice. Motherfuckers ain't happy. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers ain't happy.
I'm gonna keep it. So I seen a motherfucker in there that I thought was happily married,
And you showed me that motherfucking DM. You hear me? She trying to get stabbed like Chucky out this motherfucker. You hear me?
Man. This DM Diaries.
She's trying to get stabbed like Child's Play.
Yo, man. It's just do whatever shock you when they come in your DM and you're like, damn, you on Instagram talking about you married, you happy, showing your bags and all this shit. Do whatever.
Nah, they say the opposite, though. They be like, they're not happy in their relationship. Don't let that fool you.
But they all on prancing on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, for Instagram, I got to just go for, you know, they're trying to get they bag up so they can get them walkthroughs. You know what I'm saying?
That's all these women, a lot of chicks.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of relationships on Instagram, they just do the most so they get picked up by Shade Room or Ball Alert or whatever it is so they can get their bag up, go start getting some walkthrough money. That's what I feel like that is. That's what it looks like, and I think that's what it is. Because if you see them, you know what I mean? They're putting up the flyers, where they're going to be at and this and that. They ain't, you know.
If you like them, do you spoil them?
Yeah, for sure. Hell yeah.
What's the most expensive thing you ever bought?
A car?
Phantom or some shit?
Nah, I ain't go that high.
You ain't go that high?
Yeah, like a Range Rover.
Damn.
He said it like he was going to say well, a Honda Accord.
Was this a public relationship, but this was some
yeah,
other
like a
shit.
Range Rover, huh? This is a quiet one. I be trying, you know what I'm saying?
And she bought a Range. She was doing her thing then.
This is the most I'll talk about anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because $1 million worth of game. That's why I showed y'all the DMs. That's why I brought y'all to the crib. I never even showed nobody the crib. You know what I mean? So I was like, I seen a lot of niggas show money on $1 million worth of game. I was like, what can I show y'all? Bring y'all to something that's like, you know?
No, but see.
Show this to $20 million.
But you know what's crazy? The only person that really showed the bag you connected to, Lil Durk. And what's so crazy about it, like, you the first one. When you first seen Lil Durk and brought him in the game, Coke Boys, when you first got him, what did you see? What made you say, I got to go to Chicago and get this boy?
I seen everything everybody see right now. What everybody see right now in Durk, I seen in 2010, 11. That's when I see when we had L's up. I jumped on the remix, went out there to Chicago. Right there, when remember Meek asked Durk, he was like, yo, can I go to the this and that? He was like, yo, you're on your own terms. I can't promise you.
Right.
We was there shooting all them videos, me, Durk, at his grandmama crib. Then Rhonda, number 9, was still out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, rest in peace, a lot of Newski. We was all out there. This one, everybody was around. We was there shooting. We did that one. We did like 3 more videos. I put Durk on the first jet that he ever been on. And he was like, this is the first time on a jet, big bro. He was looking around, he had everybody with him, he had his cousin Chino with him. Yeah, man, it's good times. But I always seen like this vision for Durk. Cause Def Jam, they didn't know what to do with him. You know what I'm saying? I remember Durk was just stressed out. Like, you know, he like what every artist go through. You know what I'm saying? I was just, you know, me and Chinks, we was just running through the country, man. I was on smoking hot. I had just dropped Shot Caller. I had just dropped Pop That. I ain't really get into my career yet, but you know, coming out of New York, we was smoking.
Yeah.
I just did State Scheming. And I remember we did L's Up, that was the first one. Then we got on the road. I was on tour with I did my tour, then I went on tour with Drake. Then I'm hitting up Durk. I'm like, you don't got another single? He was like, yup. This ain't what you want. And he sent me that joint. Oh, you out of here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. We did it. He put that bitch out, start catching fire. So I just remember going like, and it caught on fire and it hit like that ceiling. I just remember waking up Ross and Puff like, yo, I need y'all niggas to jump on this joint.
Yeah.
Remember we did the remix. And after that, Durk just started taking off. But I always saw this vision, man. Shout out to Durk.
That's what's up, man.
That's what's up, man.
I like when the older niggas embrace the younger niggas,
and
man.
Give them love and amplify them.
And let me just say, because this is what I want to give you credit for. I heard about Durk from that record. Mm-hmm. This ain't what you want.
Yeah.
You was fucking with him before that.
Yeah, before that record. L was up and before that.
So that means you really had your ears to the streets.
Yeah.
Because most motherfuckers' introduction to Durk was that song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially on the mainstream level. Hell, you know what I mean? So if you was fucking with it.
Yeah, because we had did that. Then I had brought him to New York. then I had him running with me when I was doing like just doing a bunch of shit all around. I remember was working on Coke Boys mixtapes, was working on 4, 3, and 4. Then I remember he just came through the studio, we started cooking up. And I remember I did the Schmurder. Even like the Schmurder, the remix that we did, Dirk in there looking mad young with the Caesar. So he got a chance to see and learn from the game. You know what I'm saying? So Dirk been around for a minute. That's why he winning, because he got a chance to see me. He got a chance to see a lot of people. He got a chance to learn from people's mistakes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he kind of like soaked up all the game. And you know, he grinded, man. He deserved everything he got.
Well, Max B went to jail.
Mm.
He was on fire out here.
Max B still come home and be the hottest artist. Like that Drake album sound like Max B would have made that for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Like he would take me to the studio, put on a Christina Aguilera joint. Like, he'd be just like that, dancing around like this. Laughing like that the whole time. But yeah, but shout out to Max B. He was smoking hot.
When that nigga went to jail.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Because at that time, Max was hotter than you, right? Yeah. In the streets, right?
Yeah, big time.
But y'all was kind of like together, right? So was you like, shit, like, shit gonna get even harder now?
Now, when Max went in, I was the most blackball artist in the industry. Remember, I was beefing with everybody.
Everybody.
This beefing that they all doing now, we did, like Cocaine City was like, the DVD we had, you know, we had all type of things going on in the DVD. So every volume we put out, we had beef, we was beefing with everybody. That's how the beef with me and Jim came up. That's how beef with all type of dudes came up. But when Max went in, we was the most blackballed. And for all the DJs in the city, And for everybody that meant something to the culture, that was controlling the culture, they had to pick a side, whether it was mines or whether it was whoever we was beefing with.
Right.
And they wasn't playing our records on the radio. That's when I locked in with Harry Fraud.
Right.
That's when we did the Chopper Chopper Down. That's when we did the Mac and Cheese mixtapes. Mm-hmm. That's when we came up with that Shot Caller. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was like blackballed, like, all the way.
I mean, I think at that time, music took a real big hit at that time because early 2000s, the DJs stopped chasing records.
Yeah.
All the DJs had their own artists that they was trying to put on.
Yeah. But I always tell people that. K-Slay had Papoose, rest in peace.
Yep.
Clue had Fab.
Yep.
Envy had Paul Kane.
Yep.
Everybody had artists.
Green Lantern had somebody.
Uncle Murda. Yeah. You had to have a DJ to get in.
Right.
And me not having a DJ, I was like, I need to find a way. So put it like this. The same way how podcast is the most popping thing right now, DVDs was just taking off.
Yes, it was.
And Smack DVD was the only one doing it. And I remember just sitting home smoking, getting high, drinking. Me and my nigga Cams were like, yo, we know all the drug dealers in the town, and we know all the rappers. Let's do Cocaine City, Drugs on Music. Let's, in the beginning, put the drug dealers that's really living this life, and at the end, let's put the rappers that's rapping about what the drug dealer's doing. You know what I'm saying? So people could see, you know, and most of them was locked up, from the Guy Fishers to the, you know, the fucking, what's his name, Boy George, all of them, the Preacher Crew. All of them. I mean, Pee Wee Kirkland was the first one that I did. Shout to Pee Wee Kirkland. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, a father figure to us. Yeah. But we did that. And Smack was charging niggas to get on the DVD. Come Up DVD was charging niggas to get on the DVD. Mm-hmm. So me as an artist, I would have had to pay to get on the DVD. I wouldn't have came up on my own DVD, started getting paid off my own DVD, and putting myself in the DVD.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So right. I had to be 10 steps ahead of the game, and I just start clicking like that.
And you know what's crazy? A lot of times when I see some of these young cats, I think about you. Because a lot of young cats out here now in the game, they be slashers. Mm-hmm. And you be like, you know, oh, I rap. I got a clothing line. I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
It be all these joints, and they trying to blend in some type of way.
How it reminds you of me, though.
Yeah, because this would remind me of you. It wasn't all that, but you utilize a whole different avenue to slide in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was about sliding in.
Through the window.
So it'd be like, damn, I'd be seeing young cats. I'd be like, damn, young, and he doing four things, but this one thing, mm-hmm. that's really his lead. Is he going to be able to connect this shit?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people be so all over, they can't connect what they really good at. Because they like, you know, I see this one kid from Philly. This dude great, man. But he got a clover line popping. I seen him with the clover line, then I seen him with a camera. And I'm like, damn, like, you more popping for the clothes than the camera. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I see he using the camera to get in certain places. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, just like you did, man, it's just about, you got to connect that shit. When you connect it, you can get up out of here.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Because your whole thing is, I'm rapping, but the DVD, I'm going to create my own marketing too. That was a marketing to circumvent the whole radio game. Like, I'm going to get around you motherfuckers.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm going to get to the hood.
And most of the DJs he just named was from New York, if not all of them. So now DJs used to chase records. They used to be the one that's known for breaking that record. I broke this Jadakiss record. I broke this Jay-Z record. I broke this. I was the first to play this.
It was pride in that.
It was pride in that. Now, the DJ started feeling like these rap niggas getting too much money and we ain't getting enough money. Yeah. And we the ones that's responsible for these niggas.
Yeah.
So you know what? We gonna go get our own artists. Now, we not concentrating on breaking artists. We concentrating on breaking our fucking artists.
Yeah.
So soon as a little slot come in, oh, I'm playing my artist five times in a row. I'm dropping bombs on my artist. The fire truck is going on my artist. And now it's going on less on this artist because he's competition with my artist.
Yeah.
But this the thing. I'm going to say some real shit. And it's not no shade on nobody. A lot of these DJs that held artists, none of these dudes went nowhere. Mm-hmm. They didn't pick niggas that were stars.
Yeah,
a lot of times they pick dudes that they probably knew or they probably get a good agreement with. They didn't pick boys that went out of here like them supporting other artists' records. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't a few of them went
like Fab went.
Yeah. Fab went.
How many other motherfuckers went though? A lot of people didn't go. Like they might be local. It's cool to be local, but I'm talking about like in a game and really have a record and go platinum and do all this type of shit.
Yeah,
Fab like the only dude that did it.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody else. You know what I mean? No, but it's like.
The niggas made money, though.
Yeah, they made money. Some people made money locally. Yeah,
but let me
I'm talking about in the game like Fab did. No, dudes ain't go nowhere like Fab did.
No, Fab got 20 years in still running
around.
That's
what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? But you got to be special, bro.
You got to be special, man.
You got to be special to get a 20-year run. You feel what I'm saying?
But you got to hold. I'm going to say this, too, though, cuz. Sometimes you got to be special to get that song. They get you the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of dudes don't know how to make them songs because some of the artists that these dudes had that you talk about, some of these artists was battle rappers and they had a local sound. Yeah. You listen, bro, I'm going to just say this to the artists, right? We living in a time now, French, on some real shit, and a lot of artists don't know this. I could show you some shit right now on my phone, and it's going to fuck you up. I got to show you this. And artists just don't be understanding. That's why when motherfuckers be in the game talking all, look at this. This was 2000. This article is for Spotify. This is 2021 March. Based on the newest numbers, there are 60,000 songs being uploaded to Spotify every day. There's almost 22 million tracks per year. A study has shown that at this, only 1.12 million songs were released through major labels. Do-it-yourself artists released 9.5 million tracks. I mean, so what I'm saying is that every day, motherfuckers coming out. What you did is like all them hits you had, that's hard as shit.
Yeah.
And like dudes don't understand. Now they saying it's 100,000 songs come out every day. Mm-hmm. That's 700,000 a week. This shit ain't sweet. You gotta be special. Yeah. And a lot of times people don't understand this. And you know this is because you got and we gotta break this down and probably you gonna understand this. You know this. You got a neighborhood song, you got a city song, you got a region song. You got a national song, and then you got a global song. Mm-hmm. how many motherfuckers really going to even reach the national song level? And people sounds, like we, like motherfuckers don't talk about it. But dudes be having sounds, they be having local sounds because they haven't been exposed to a lot of shit. Sometimes the local sound to catch and people will be like, but what's happening now is that everybody is influenced by whoever on. So the sound that you might be from Brooklyn. You might be rapping, but you're not rapping the story of Brooklyn in the mindset and the slang of Brooklyn. You might have somebody else slang, so now it's like, oh, we already heard that. It's not like when Juvenile came out, you got them big body bins, huh? That was new. His look, his whole thing, the ghetto, but now you're not getting that.
And that's worldwide, though, because Philadelphia had certain slangs that when a nigga Philly nigga talk, you knew he was from Philly. New York had certain slangs that when they talk, you knew they was from New York. Now, everybody use the same slang.
But that big song, though, is also a suicide mission. Like, it's like Russian roulette. Like, you can't. Every artist that fell off had a big song.
Nigga, you ain't fall off.
I'm saying, but no, I'm different. I ain't.
Talk heavy.
I got a $20 million house.
I'm different.
That's just
different.
One of my five houses. I mean, so I'm different.
I'm the first male artist from the mecca of hip hop to go diamond. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, it just happened like that.
Say that again.
I'm the first male artist from the mecca of hip hop
from New York City,
and the first born African artist to ever go diamond. So that's different. You know
explain to the youngest what diamond is. 10 million
Yeah, 10 million Probably 11 by now.
Wait, hold on. So Jay-Z ain't never go diamond?
Nah.
That's a lot.
Damn.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like them big songs, like it's like Russian roulette. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you don't have like a catalog of joints, you know what I mean? It's like some artists can't even match up to that. Like right after that I dropped like No Stylist. So it's just like it was like boom, boom. And before that, like it's like 10 years of just like straight joints.
But do you go in? Because I had one time, there's another dude that dropped joints, right? And I had asked him one time, I was in LA. OT Genesis. He said, Wallo, I go in the studio to make a song that's going to do this. I don't go in there to be, I'm only trying to make a song that's going here. And he done it. He never put no pride, no real album. He never put no album. He just dropped, bang, bang, bang. He just kept coming with bangers. So, like, what is the formula of that? And is that your mindset going into the studio?
Nah. I mean, just because I got a diamond plaque doesn't mean I got three platinum albums, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just dropped four albums, you know what I'm saying? Like three of them, you know, my first one, Jungle Rules, is and you know, I got like, me and Max B had the Coke Wave series, I got the Mac and Cheese series, I got the Casino Life series. Like, we got like projects. I got the Coke Boy series.
But a lot of them was mixtapes, right?
Yeah, a lot of them. I got like 22 mixtapes, you know what I mean? So a lot of artists, people fuck with me after they heard Pop Dad and you know, other ones, the Lockjaws and this and that. Some people fuck with me from the mixtape. Some people fuck with me from the global records. Some people fuck with me from all the remixes I've been buying all year. You know what I'm saying? My whole career. And it's just like, you know, they all come together and form one, you know what I'm saying? They form, you know, one fan base to me. So everybody like me for different things. So I try, you know, because when I was coming out the Bronx, I just realized that New York was boxing us in to mix one certain type of music, which is nothing wrong with it, because if you come from L.A., they'll force you to make the G-Funk music. If you come from down south, they'll make, you know what I'm saying, sing rap and do whatever it is. But I got a chance to be able to become, you know, come from Africa. So I wasn't even speaking English before I was 13, you know what I'm saying, until I came to the States. So when I came here, I had the mentality of a kid that heard music and didn't understand the words and just loved the melodies. So when I came here to make music, I wasn't just stuck to, all right, we got to rap this certain way in New York to make it here, because I seen niggas not make it past New York. Or niggas might make it, the furthest they make it is to D.C. And I was like, nah, I got to pass D.C., dog. And that's when I came up with Chopper, Chopper, down. You know what I'm saying? Then I went down south, locked in. Then went to Miami with Ross, locked in. I'm like, I got to conquer these other places. Like, the world is bigger than just here. So that's my mentality when I go into the studio.
This episode of $1 Million Worth of Game is brought to you by Whatnight. Whatnight is a live stream auction app. I'm talking about you can buy collectibles like sports cards, Pokemon cards, comics, sneakers, or anything else. I'm talking about all types of things. Seller host, I'm talking about this seller host live streamed and people bid back and forth for items in real time. there are live streams 24/7. I'm talking about 24/7. And now Barstool is Whatnot newest seller. I'm talking about the newest seller. We'll be going live twice a week on Whatnot, running live shows and selling never before seen auction items, Whatnot exclusive. Download the Whatnot app, follow the Barstool Sports account at Barstool Sports, so you'll be first to be notified when we go live. Use the link in the description to get $10 off your first purchase on Whatnot. I'm talking about $10 off right now. What are you waiting for? Download the Whatnot app. I'm talking about right now. Go into the app store. Let me get Whatnot. I'm talking about live stream auction. Whatnot.
A lot of motherfuckers that I know in hip hop that seem to last long be the motherfuckers that got to put the, that don't got that big hit right out the gate.
Yeah, hell no.
You know what I mean? Like the motherfuckers that got the big hits right out the gate and they do, oh, he did 5 million right out the gate. Them niggas don't seem to be around that long.
Like, hell no.
It just seems to work like that. But the motherfucker who got to keep doing, oh, he did 400,000. All right, his next album, he did 560. And then eventually he just keep putting the work in and then he get that moment like, bam. And then he just get another moment, bam. And then he keep getting another moment, bam.
I started Cocaine City in 2003. All we did was drop mixtapes, until I finally dropped New York Minute when Kiss finally gave me that first verse. You know what I'm saying? Then after New York Minute, we dropped Ocho Cinco. Then we dropped Chopper Chopper Down with Waka Gucci, you know. Then I came with Shot Caller. Then after Shot, it was like this, boom, 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 boom. Then after Shot Caller is when I got signed. Then after Shot Caller, I dropped Pop That. Then it was like, oh, shit, too many features. And I had knocked them with, I ain't worried about nothing. Mm-hmm. Boom. Then it was just like, and that's what kind of like built the fan base. This like, that's like 5 years before I even did Unforgettable. Mm-hmm. I ain't catch Unforgettable till like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So when did you know I ain't worried about nothing? That's when you knew, all right, nigga, I'm in.
Nah, I knew I was in when I popped that. When I did Pop That.
Pop That.
Yeah, when I did Pop That. I remember Chinks had gave me that beat, rest in peace. I went to Ross' crib. I made Ross do a verse on it. I sent it to Drake. Drake was in Europe. He did a verse. And I remember I was excited.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was excited. I sent that shit to Puff. Puff Ayres was dead at that time. Puff was like, yo, this sounds like a good mixtape record. I said, yo, give my record back.
He said Puff shit was dead. Puff Ayres was shot. Puff had danced his motherfucking ear lubes out.
This ain't it, nigga.
Let me just tell you something.
Probably try to throw me off.
Hey, nigga, you said a nigga anything with Drake on it, ain't mixtape nothing, nigga. What do you mean mixtape? What the fuck are you talking about?
Nah, not just Drake. This had Wayne when Wayne was
Wayne
like,
Ross.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
Wayne Ross and Ross. Yeah, Wayne Ross and
this
Drake.
This one Ross was, you think I'm Big Meech? Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Larry Hoover.
The fuck is the matter with you?
It was that time. This is like, we did Pop That and we did Stay Scheming the same month.
And the nigga told you that was a mixtape joint.
He was like, yeah, it sounded like a cool mixtape, mix show joint. I was like, yo, Puff, send my record back.
Fuck is you talking about?
Yeah. did he ever
admit he was wrong?
Nah, he ain't never gonna admit he was wrong. I woke up to him like, yo, this is 4-time platinum right now. Yeah.
It's a hell of a mixtape record to Puff, ain't it?
Oh god.
4-time platinum puppy.
You and Puff must got an unbelievable business relationship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was like a big brother. You know what I'm saying? Him and Ross was part of my early career. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it's about, man, just having that. How did that really help you? Because did you go to him for, like, real moments during your career when you ain't know? Was like on the aspect, was it ever that moment where you was like, damn, I don't know. Is this shit going to keep going on? Like, how much time I got? Was it ever a moment where you felt that way?
Nah, I remember, I remember Puff just saying a little slick shit that made me just always stay on point. Like, out of nowhere, he'll just pop up and be like, yo, rappers is future crackheads. You know what I'm saying?
Damn. And, rappers of future crackheads.
That's what I'm saying. But if you really look at it, everybody's, you know what I'm saying, drugged up. Everybody.
That's real. That's real. Yeah, there's a lot of dudes that went to that. Yeah.
So from a mentor standpoint, he would just be saying things to keep me on my toes. Like, yo, don't.
It's real, though. Shh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So from him, I was just watching, just seeing that you don't really have to make music to stay on top of the Forbes list. You know what I'm saying? Or stay on top of your game. So I was basically just trying to soak up game. And you know, he gave me my own flavor, French vanilla Ciroc. We got best taste in vodka, this and that. He threw me a couple of alley-oops. But in the beginning, you know, I came from like 8 years of grinding. And I remember Rose had hit me up with Spiff TV. And I went, you know, I started dealing with Ross. And Ross was like, yo, I got an opportunity for you. And I'm like, yeah, you don't got no bag for me? He was like, nah, I just got an opportunity. I'm like, I need a bag, Rose. I've been grinding for too long. Max B had just got locked up. And I hit them streets up and I grinded and I got it out the mud. You know what I'm saying? So my shit just started clicking. This one, you know, I was just in New York City, was nothing but Coke Boys from the merch to everything. And he was like, I got an opportunity. I'm like, nah, I need a bag. He was like, you know what? And Rose think on his feet fast. He was like, all right, I know what I'm gonna do. So he just made the whole marriage happen between me, him, and Puff. Yeah. But now where I'm at in my career, I'm 100%. I own all my thing. I might be the first one to finish a Puff deal.
Hey, you going? Damn, he said he's the first one. He still got total on some shit.
Shout out to Puff. Nah, he do the right thing. Puff be trying to do the right thing.
Then to you.
Yeah, Puff be trying to do the right thing.
Ask what 12 at.
He said I finished the deal.
Nah, but you know what? I don't know if Puff did anybody dirty. I'm just fucking around, y'all. Yeah. Don't pay me no attention. But, yeah. But you the one said it. I ain't say it. I'm the first one to finish the deal. Damn.
Major. I think Puff was just about to give Mace his paperwork. Because he was telling me, like, yeah, I'm about to give everybody their papers back.
And what happened? Oh, he ready to give him his paper?
Yeah, I think he was. But I can't speak on that man.
He said,
yeah,
I think he was.
Yeah, I can't speak on that man business. I don't know what he's going to do.
After he does.
But you know, every
he'd have burnt the songs all out.
Yeah. Every
shit. He burned the songs up for 25 years.
You know, every entrepreneur make mistakes at the early age of their career.
You do.
Take your shit back. I burnt you out for 25.
Yeah.
But I think it's about getting put on though, bro. Yeah. It's about getting inside of the system.
But yeah, but you know what? He gave all them artists a platform.
Yeah, get inside the system.
He did. Yeah, he changed it. He changed all their lives.
Fuck that.
No, I'm just big, man. I love to have fun, man.
Yeah, but definitely, man. You know, as an entrepreneur, you're always gonna make mistakes in the beginning if you do. But as long as you become a better man and learn from the game.
Yeah.
Just you don't become a better man on my expense.
Yeah.
See, that's why I ain't never making it music. Because when nobody becoming a better man on my expense.
But I was the first one.
I went to jail.
I was the first one that when I signed the Puff, when I was doing the deal with Ross and Puff and Interscope, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing my publishing. I didn't do my publishing at all. I just like, you know, did whatever I had to do for whatever I had to do. I was like, I'm not giving up my publishing. So I got that out the way early. I ain't had to go through no problems.
Right.
I mean, you gotta know your business getting in the game. And man, right. you know, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate.
Right.
So if he's negotiating better than you, you can't be mad at that man. Somebody could fucking talk you out your fucking drawers on with your jeans still on. It's like, bro, like you deserve everything that's coming to you.
Right.
Welcome to the episode of $1 million Worth of Game Business Spotlight, yes, where we bring to you the news you can use. And we give you game from some of the great people within our community that's making moves on the business aspect. Yes. And they're going to educate you through their system, through their courses, through their ebooks, through their knowledge and their proof of concept. They already made it happen. They're just going to give you the jewels that you didn't need that you could utilize to make it happen for yourself. Today, we have my man Rod from Hard Money University. Rod. Before we even start, this guy is giving away $1 million worth of free courses.
A million.
What you need to do first is text MWG to 415-968-5431. 415-968-5431. He's giving away $1 million in free courses. How to make money funding real estate investors. Rod, tell them how you got in the game, man. Where you come from, man.
So first and foremost, thank you for having me, y'all.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
The platform. Mm-hmm. My name is Rod Standback. I'm from North Philadelphia, right here. I grew up the street. My grandfather used to sell fruits and vegetables on this block. So it's coming full circle for me. But got into the real estate financing industry as a real estate investor. So I started investing in real estate back in 2009 when the recession hit. And I was trying to get into real estate at the time prior to that, but I didn't have enough money. But people knew I was trying to get into real estate. So when the market crashed, I honestly didn't know what the hell was going on, but it was a lot of opportunity because the prices of the properties dropped. And so somebody came to me, they're like, I know somebody who got two properties for $10,000. I'm like, well, shit, that's a no-brainer. Like, let's go. I gave him the money. He gave me the deed. And then when he gave me the deed, you know, I didn't know anything about title companies. And they insure the transactions to make sure everything legitimate. So I was a little handshake deal, you know what I mean, on the streets. I gave him the money. He gave me the deal. I mean, the property. Fixed it up. So it was under contract. Within 2 weeks, they asked me for the HUD. A HUD is a settlement statement that shows all the costs associated with the transaction. And so I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what the hell is a HUD? So they like, how'd you get the property? I told them, and then they referred me to a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I told the lawyer, come to find out, the property was stolen. So I was at risk of losing everything. Damn. You know what I mean? I had $100,000 into the deal at the time. Almost lost it all, because if this owner would have wanted the house, I would have lost everything. You know what I mean? But so I had to do something called a quiet title action. Quiet title is when you got to try to find the rightful owner. So you got to do certified mail, like you do 4 mailings. You got to get a private investigator to try to find this person or the heirs. Now, this person was dead. So, you know, obviously we couldn't find them. So we had to try to find their heirs. They never responded. So I was able to keep the property, thankfully. But after that, I said, I got to get some help. I got to get a mentor so that I can learn from other people's mistakes. You know what I mean? So yeah. That's what I did. And I found this guy, this white guy. He was a Mormon. I would have never stumbled across. I just happened to stumble across him somehow online. But he was a real estate investor. So I hired him to be my mentor. But I was intrigued by his model because he was a real estate investor and developer. Then he started doing real estate education. Then he was a hard money lender, too. You know what I mean? And he had something called the circle of wealth, whereas though everybody's benefiting from everybody. He was raising money from retirees to lend to the real estate investors, and then he was giving education to the real estate investors. So everybody was feeding the chain, everybody getting money. I was inspired by that. I said, damn, I like this model. I don't know anybody black that's in the lending industry. Like, if I could duplicate this, put my twist on it, then, you know, I'll be the man. So that's exactly what I set out to do. And that's how I formed Flip Funding, which is my lending company. But now I've just recently launched Hard Money University, as you just said, which is a platform where I teach other people, specifically minorities, because it's not many of us in this industry. I'm like a dinosaur, but I mean, teach everybody how to get involved in the real estate financing industry so that you can put yourself in a position of power and fund deals for all these real estate investors that we know out here.
When people hear hard money, they get it, you know, it's like a bad look on it. Why is that?
It's a lack of education, you know what I mean? Because in the past, it was like high interest rates, 18, 20%. But see, what people don't realize is that hard money is now an institutional game. You got Wall Street in on this. Everybody's trying to get in on this because they see that it's a lucrative opportunity in it. And, like, people don't realize it's one of the most secure investments that you can make, because if you fund a deal, we got a lien on that property. If somebody don't make a payment, not if they don't make the first payment. Don't get scared away, y'all. But if, let's say, you don't make 5 payments and we have to take that property back, we still going to make a profit, because the loan is always less than the property's value. So I could take a property. Say I give somebody a loan for $100,000. The max I'm going to lend on that is like $80,000. You know what I mean? So if I got to take it back, I know I can sell it for a quick 90 and still make 10 grand on the property.
All right. So now, in the university, right, within, you know, like the course and all, in the university, what game is you giving me in the university?
In the university,
If I'm Johnny Do Nothing, I'm laying on the couch. Mm-hmm. I ain't got shit going on, and I'm watching this right now. How can I get, you know, right, how can I benefit off this? Because you're giving this out to... You're giving this shit out for free. You know what I mean? How can I?
So you can benefit. What people don't realize is that you don't have to be rich to be in the lending game. That's what they want us to think. That's what I thought up until I got involved in it. What I've learned is that everybody's using everybody else's money. Nobody's using their OPM. Own money. OPM. That's the game. That's how you get wealthy. Because you're supposed to keep yours in the tuck, investing in other places. But if you have the opportunity to come up and use other people's capital, why not? You know what I mean? Because the thing is, I don't have, like, we did $80 million last year in loans. I don't have $80 million. I would have never been able to do that if I was trying to use my money. So I had to leverage institutions, you know, money from institutions. I have private investors that I raise money from now. Because they know, you know, that this is one of the most secure investments. It's safe, secure, and consistent. We pay people monthly, you know, when I raise money from them.
Oh, that's good. So how do I, how do I go get somebody to use somebody else's money if I'm just Johnny Do Nothing?
Right. So you'll be starting out like me. When I first started, again, I'm from North Philadelphia. I didn't have a network of affluent people to raise money from, but I learned how to do it. My journey was rough because I didn't have nobody to show me. You know, but I made every single mistake you can make in this business. I've grown my business from nothing to making 7 figures a year. You know what I mean? And everything I say is verifiable.
But the help you got, like, did you use credit? Like, what did you use initially?
Resources.
Okay.
Resources.
Just connected with financial bankers. And did you go to the bank?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Not the bank. No, not the bank. Other private individuals, the hedge funds and other private institutions that lend. I partner with them. I have over 50 resources that I connect anybody that joined Hard Money University to, so that they can be in a position to lend as well, even if you have little to no capital.
Is it hard getting capital? Like, what you got to, once you get in the game, you get your LLC, you get all your stuff set up, you get your infrastructure set up, like the paperwork and like the, me going to this hedge fund or me going to whoever. Oh, is it a possibility that you go to anybody that got money? That you feel that they have trust in you and believe?
Yeah, exactly. That's key. People got to know, like, and trust you. Those are the three factors that determine if somebody going to do business with you, and definitely if they're going to give you some money. You know what I mean? See, I've made my way because I have a solid reputation. You know what I mean? I give great results for real estate investors that come to me and get loans. So people trust me. They know I execute. They know their money going to be safe because I've proven it over time. So
how long is the, if somebody, like with the hard money thing, how long is the, how long do you got to pay somebody back? Say if you give me money for this property I'm working on, how long, is it a term, is it a time frame, or what is it?
So it depends on the type of loan. So if it's a fix and flip or new construction loan, normally it's about 12 to 24 months. So it's not no pressure, and you can pay it off without any prepayment penalties. Mm-hmm. We don't want to encourage a quick flip, because the faster you get the money back, the more you're going to buy more properties and come on back and get more loans.
But you got to be, how did you build up your patience coming from streets of North Philadelphia to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to give you this money for 24 months, man? Go. How did you build your shit up to be able to, like, throw the money out there, not, you know, like.
I mean, once you understand the game, you know that that's just how it works. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's better to be patient sitting in a cell waiting on some money, you know what I mean, yes, and not having no opportunity. It's either that or, you know, sometimes people think it happens overnight. And now, your journey will be much faster than mine because, again, I didn't have anybody to guide me along the way.
But now they got you.
Now you got me.
You didn't have a cheat sheet.
I ain't had a cheat sheet.
You got the cheat sheet now.
I created the cheat sheet for everybody now, for sure. Listen, a lot of people don't think this wasn't possible. A lot of people thought, again, you had to be rich in order to even get in the position to lend money. But you don't, y'all. I'm breaking it down for y'all. I came into the game, you know what I mean? I took the elevator up, now I'm bringing it back down, opening the doors for everybody else to get involved.
And so, right here in this course, you just, but this whole thing, you just giving it away. You giving the game away in the course, right? How to make money funding real estate investors. And once again, text MWG to 415-968-5431. 415-968-5431. He's giving away $1 million worth of free courses. Listen, man, you're giving it to them. So once they get this information, they can take this information and launch.
Yes,
they
could just go their way, but
or they could say, you know what, I want to go to the next level with you. I want to go to the next level with, you know, Hard Money University.
Absolutely.
Like you did with your guy who was.
Absolutely. But yeah, so he introduced me to the, he showed me the game. He introduced me to me, like he piqued my interest, but he ain't give me the game. Like, you know, so that's how I made all these mistakes. And I know how I feel to be navigating in this industry without any help. You know what I mean? So I want to be that anchor for other people trying to navigate their way and be successful within the real estate finance industry. And this thing is a no-brainer for, like, anybody that's definitely in real estate already, because people already know you for real estate. Again, they know, like, and trust you. So you can just multiply your income by offering lending. Let's say you're a wholesaler. Wholesalers, they do business with cash buyers. They're trying to sell houses to real estate investors. As a lender, your target demographic is real estate investors, too.
Right.
So if you sell them the house, why not fund the deal to get paid twice?
Is the media people that's around you, did they start getting into hard money? Because they see you, how you came up.
Winning.
They seen your glow. They see how much money you get.
Now people trying to get in now.
Endgame. Right. They seen your endgame.
Right. You know, people saw me. They know I was in real estate for years, but they ain't know what I was doing in the lending side. I knew they wouldn't even understand it. You know what I mean? So I was just working on building my foundation until, you know, I knew it was time. And now it's time to really bring awareness to this opportunity.
And how long do it take? Like, if I come to, all right, I know I'm gonna get the free course. I mean, everybody gonna get the free course. But if I come in the game and say, you know what, I want to go to the university, how long do that take?
So it's an online platform. It's self-paced, but I structured it whereas though, you know, it should go through in 8 weeks. By the end of the 8 weeks, you'll be in a position to fund deals.
And you had a resource.
I'm gonna give you over 50 contacts that I know personally that I have used and that I am still using within the industry that you can utilize now. These are your resources. I'm not trying to give you the game just so you can send business to me. No, I want you to be on your own, independent, you know, so you can scale. And I want to assist you to do that.
And you teach me how to go around the country. You'll teach me how to go around the country and find, you know, real estate, you know, people that need funding. And it's just easy. I could just easy find it through utilizing your stuff.
Absolutely. My information, you'll be in a position to fund new construction, fix and flips, multifamily, mixed use, commercial, anything, you know, for investment purposes. You'll be in a position to fund it nationwide. I learned nationwide, all throughout the United States.
You're going to connect them to a real bag then. You're not playing.
Yeah. Like, we're going to show you how to be the bank within real estate investing. So you could be the money plug. Everybody coming to you. Everybody's investing in real estate. You can't do it without the money. You know what I mean? And so you put yourself in a position of power, because over 90% of real estate transactions include financing, whether you buying it or refinancing. Even people say, oh, I paid cash. Okay, but you still got to refinance at some point. You know what I mean? And a bank only going to give you about 4 to 5 loans, and then you still got to come see me. If you got a vacant property, you can't see the bank. You got to come see me. You know what I mean? So with the guys in real estate.
Why you can't go see the bank with a vacant property?
Because they don't want to get down and dirty with you. They only want to do business with you when it's pretty, when it's sexy, on properties that somebody's already living in, like turnkey real estate. That if they got to take it back, they know they're not in the real estate and construction business, so they're not trying to do any work. If they got foreclosed, they're trying to take it and sell it right then and there. Whereas though, I'm first and foremost, I'm a real estate investor, so I understand how real estate investors think, and I know what to do. If, God forbid, you know what I mean, we have a vacant property that we have to get rid of or fix up to sell.
Damn, that's major. So listen, right now, what y'all need to do is, once again, y'all need to text MWG. I'm talking about Hard Money University. It's going to give $1 million. How much is this course?
This course, I'm selling this course for $500. I'm giving it to y'all, for giving away 2,000 people. That's $1 million for free.
So the first 2,000 people that text that number, don't play no games. You already know we put y'all on getting that money. We see y'all out in the streets. Oh, this episode changed my life. Man, this episode put me on. Man, I love y'all niggas. Man, this is the next one. Yeah. So if this is what you're trying to get into, don't waste no fucking time. Text that number right now. MWG to what, Wallow?
415-968-5431. 415-968-5431. And listen, my man Rob, man.
I just want to say this, and this is a nigga that came from the streets.
Yeah.
It's a nigga that come fresh up out the streets of North Philadelphia, was involved in all the dumb shit, all the dumb, stupid, goofy shit you could be involved in. Mm-hmm. He was involved in it.
He come fresh up out of the suey hole.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, slums, and he changed his motherfucking life. You feel what I'm saying? He said, I'm tired of keep doing dumb shit. I'm tired of paying for the dumb shit that I do. Let me try to go the legit way.
We out Vegas. He got a line of people around him talking to him about this. I'm trying to get it. How can I get it? I'm like, damn, Rob right. ain't playing.
So
long way from North Philly.
So anybody could do this shit, man.
Yes.
You just got to put the motherfucking work in, man. So to all you niggas sitting at home being fucking couch warriors, denting a fucking couch up for no reason at all, man. Come on, man. As much energy as you putting on that couch, man, put into one of these motherfucking business segments, man, and get you some money, man. Stop denting the fucking couch up, man. Buy some new couches. You know what I'm saying?
Now, Rob, before we go, anything you want to say to the people out there?
Yes, sir. So y'all can follow me Instagram, Rod_HardMoney. You know, if you're looking to get a hard money loan or a loan for any investment property, visit my website, flipfunding.com.
Oh, yeah, y'all. He also giving out money, too. You can get right now and get... Flip something with Rod. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, if you're any investor, come to me to see the money, get the money. If you're interested in learning more about getting on the lending side of real estate, put yourself in a position of power, visit my website, hardmoneyuniversity.com. And all the real estate gurus, influencers out there, little quick message. I see a lot of y'all having these events and stuff, but y'all don't have no hard money lenders talking. How can y'all have these real estate events without the money? You know what I mean? So get with me, y'all. Let's collaborate. Let's build.
That was another episode of $1 million Worth of Game Business Spotlight. Today we have my man, Rod, Hard Money University. Get with him, man. Once again, text his number, NWG 415-968-5431. That's another episode of $1 million Worth of Game Business Spotlight. And it's just like that, right?
But you know, too, you know, a lot of motherfuckers sign a lot of motherfuckers when they life on the line, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Motherfucker be dead, yeah, pop, busted, and disgusted.
You trying to move, you got a kid.
Motherfucker. Yeah. $20,000 sound like $1 million to a nigga who ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Because, you know, when a motherfucker give you something, you know, like where we come from, a motherfucker give you something and you, the motherfucker mentality, it'd be like, man, that nigga real. No, that nigga gave you $500, bro. $500 ain't shit to a nigga that got money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Real is when a nigga give you something and he ain't got it.
Yeah.
You can, it's easy to pull up and give a motherfucker money when it don't hurt you.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So when a lot of times them artists, when they be in a starving moment, they get taken advantage of. You know what I mean? But that's just how the game goes. You was at your lowest point. Mm-hmm. A nigga was at a high point. You know, nigga seen you had talent. He invested a little bit of money in you.
You know what they say, never do a deal while you're desperate.
Mm. And that's what most of the kids from the ghetto do, they deals. Mm-hmm. Because we come from nothing. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? When we get into them offices, we get big-eyed. And, you know, you start getting introduced to niggas that you're going to realize ain't shit in 8 years. Oh, yeah, this Ronnie Cruz, he the A&R, yeah. He been the top dog over here for you. You meeting Ronnie, you like, damn, man, it's nice to meet you, man. Ready to bust Ronnie in his motherfucking head.
But this answered your question from when you first came in. As soon as you walked through my door in my crib and you was like, how you get this from rapping? That's how I got it from rapping. I negotiated from day one when I came in the game and made sure I did all my shit right. You know what I mean? Like, from even, you know, from apart from whatever it is. I never did a deal when I was desperate. It was just like, this is going to be in my favor. When Ross flew me, even though he flew a bunch of artists that he signed for the opportunity, even though that opportunity means the world and I appreciate Ross for it, I looked him dead in his face. I was like, yo, Rose, I need some type of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you was fans of motherfuckers. Cool. Yeah, I fuck with y'all. I listen to your music. I like what y'all got going on. But I'm not negotiating from a fan standpoint.
Yeah, you're on fire, and you know what I'm going to bring to your team.
Right.
Like, you're not opportunity is something you give somebody that don't got nothing going on.
Right.
I had the mecca of hip-hop on my back.
Right.
Like, I was, you know what I'm saying? I was right. the youngest coming out of New York.
So
like,
you got a bag. You got a nice bag, your first deal.
Yeah, I got a nice bag. But also.
You got a nice deal.
Yeah, nice deal. I got a nice deal.
The deal was more important than the bag. You get $2 million up front, and that'd be the only $2 million fucking dollars you ever see in your life.
I got a nice deal. I went back and negotiated after every album. After every album, I learned more and more and more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And right now, where I'm at, I own 100%. Like, not even Cash Money had a better deal. Like you know, the labels you go to, the least you can get is 90-10 split.
Yeah,
I own 100%. Like, if it sells for $1, I get $1. Like, they don't get no splits. It's unheard of. Nobody, like.
Damn, that's weird.
Yeah, that is unheard of.
Like, but, you know what I mean? It's like, you know.
But back to the youngins, a lot of them get fucked up deals because they be negotiating from a fan standpoint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You 100%. Go in there, you meet your favorite rapper, you're like, oh, my God, that's such and such.
You know what's like a TV show like that is Rock Nation Brunch. Like, hey, Brian,
what is that? What you mean?
Rock Nation Brunch is the perfect example of that. Everybody signing for because they fans of Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Damn.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Then the worst part, be Hov take pictures with niggas don't even smile, man.
Yeah. Everybody sign for that Hov verse.
Hey, the only time Hov smiles when he with Puff and all
you
the,
never been to the
all
brunch?
The $500 nah. million dollar niggas.
Why you never went to the brunch?
I mean, because it's called Rock Nation Brunch. I'm not signing to Rock Nation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It was the French Montana brunch.
It was the Coke Boys listening to the party with the mayor there.
Damn.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, definitely, man. I feel like, you know, artists sign for pictures, some artists sign for features, some artists, you know what I'm saying, just sign for the opportunity to each his own. You know what I'm saying? But if you're not getting the bag, once you're an artist, you can never go back to getting a regular job. You just got to keep that in the back of your mind. And the same people that you in there smiling with, same people going to stop picking up their phone. If you catch a case, if you downgrade, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your hits, whatever it is. So I just, you know, I always keep that in the back of my mind.
And you always got to keep in the back of your mind that you always got to prepare for the switch up.
Yeah.
When you're in these record labels, trust me.
For anybody to switch on you at any given time.
Absolutely, because when you come in, the only reason 9 times out of 10 you're coming in is because you hot.
Yeah.
You on fire. They don't know where this is about to go yet. Mm-hmm. This could be diamond. This could be trash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we know you're on fire. Mm-hmm. So now everybody's stroking your ego. Everybody in love with you. Everybody. Your shit come out. Your shit don't do what they thought it was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the person who was the nicest person in the label, they total different motherfucker now. You like, what the fuck? So understand that when y'all going into this shit, man, this shit is all business, man.
For real.
And don't never get too high and don't never get too low on this shit, man. Try to stay as even keel as possible, man. Don't never let them blow your motherfucking head up too much.
And even for the OGs, too. It's like for the OGs that's giving out these deals, it's like, you know, you got to understand that young artists, the longer they in the game, the longer they learn the business. So if you're giving an artist a deal that, you know, by the time the third album come or the third single, he's going to realize that you was a sucker. You shouldn't be doing them kind of deals because all them deals just lead to problems. And I hate to see it just like, you know, groups of brothers, everybody fit them. They fall out because of shit like this. You knew that deal was a sucker deal, and you give it to him because the young brother don't even know his business.
Right.
He can't even trust the lawyer because you might have that lawyer that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You might have got him that lawyer because when you coming out the hood, niggas ain't got no lawyer. So you're like, yo, I got a lawyer
for you. I know a good lawyer for you.
You know, so all them tricks right there always come back.
Mm. Right. Because then you look up, and the artist... Now they getting some real money. They was just broke, busted, and disgusted. Now they getting real money on an everyday basis. They got shows every day. And then they look up and they like, I made the record label $28 million. I got $700,000 in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How the fuck does this work?
The record business make $13 billion a year. They make $13 million an hour. Streaming, we get 12% of that. You know what I'm saying? You know, Lucian Green, everybody's getting paid. It's not even in the culture. So you try to tell me, Max be doing 75 years. I lost Chinks behind this. My little brother deported. We put our life on the line every day. I done got shot up behind this. I'm like the last one out of my whole crew still here doing it. And I'm going to do sacrifice all this so I can make 12% of what I put my life behind. After a while, as you're growing, you're thinking like, yo, if something happened to me, I got nothing to leave my kids. They done gave me all this money to make all this music. Because even though I did great deals, they gave me all this money to make all this music. But now the music is my business. I get to leave my business, but y'all get to keep my business.
Right.
How is that? Y'all gave me a loan. Now I want to walk away. I don't get to keep my business.
Right.
I don't get to walk away with my title.
I don't get to walk away with the shit I just put 30 years into.
None of that. So now I got to start from scratch, owning 100%, create a whole new catalog, which I know I could do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's artists that can't do that. So you leave all that behind there. That's why I shot the Dolph, shot the, you know, Cash Money, shot the, you know, Master P, shot the all of them, you know, that paved the way. I feel like that's the way. As far as, like, you know, you could sell a billion records. They're not your records.
Right. Right, absolutely. They're the record label records.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You could be smoking hot in the streets. You took an advance that you're going to have to spend back to keep yourself hot. You know what I'm saying? You took a loan, bro. Get your credit up and go get a loan.
Right. Mm-hmm. And shout out to even the ones that came before the Cash Money's and the Master P, the Jay Princes and the Tony Drapers. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Because they really... You know, set the bar for niggas like you who got a deal that they didn't even have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Most of them had 85, 15, 75, 25.
I got to give it up to Russ. Shout out to Russ.
Russ ain't playing.
Yeah, the Russ is the one that put me onto the 100%.
Russ is not
Russell
playing.
Russell Simmons?
No, Russ.
No, Russ.
R-R-Russ.
Oh, our Russ?
Yeah.
He's the one that put me onto the 100%. I can't take credit for it. Yeah.
One thing about Russ, Russ know his business.
He know his business.
Yeah.
He know his business. He ain't playing no motherfucking games when it come to his business.
Yeah. I was telling him, I was like, yo, I know artists that's doing 20, 80. He was like, nah, that's just like the tallest midget in the room. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? You're right. 100%. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, 80-20 is bad. I'm like, all right, let's do the 100 then.
Yeah.
Like this album with Harry Fraud, I spent everything myself. Like, 100% and get 100% back.
So you, this all out of pocket, everything.
This all out of pocket, from the beats to the samples.
Videos.
Everything out of pocket.
Marketing.
Everything out of pocket.
How much you spent on marketing?
Market, probably like $500,000.
Damn. That's, no, because for dudes that got to hear that because everybody be, because everybody be on the independent joint, you got to hear that shit.
Yeah, like
$500,000.
I mean, but you could do albums for $100,000. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm talking about, I understand the recording thing, but when I'm talking about marketing. Like, you see, you spent $500,000 on marketing. Where did you put that $500,000 at?
I mean, first of all, you got to get every cultural blog site. That's going to run you about, $100 bands for the week. I mean, you got to think about it. You got a longevity of an album, so you got to keep pushing that motherfucker. Yeah. It goes to videos. You need a digital marketing guy. You need a commerce. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
For the merch and all that?
Nah, commerce is like, for all the digital, DSPs.
DSPs, okay. That,
and playlisting is the new mixtapes. Is the new everything.
Yeah.
Radio is the new everything. Yeah. Every generation has changed.
Yeah.
We had the World Stars, the YouTubes, and we had the DVDs. Now it's a playlist. It switched to YouTubes, then it switched to, to podcasts. Every time the game changed, now it's playlisting.
Mm-hmm.
That, you need commerce, you need a publicist, You need a great management team. You need a good international.
Got to run ads.
Yeah, you got to run ads. You need a good ads. You need everything you had when you was on the label, but now you just want control. So instead of the label hiring their cousins and hiring this dude and this and that and they running about 10,000 artists at the same label.
Right.
The label dudes, once they leave at 5 PM, they're not thinking about French Montana.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
French Montana, think about French Montana all day, every day.
And I need to hire people. I got people on salary that's $150,000 for the year. Like five different people like that. That just focus on French Montana. Until French Montana signed artists that I need them to focus on. And right. It's like, I need somebody to think about French Montana. I'm the business.
Right.
That's major. It's just like, man, just seeing you come from the DVD all the way to here, it's like, did you think you'd still be here?
Man, it was just like, it'd be remind me of that Crossroads video, Bone Thugs, when they walk in. that's how the road felt like, you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
It's like, yeah, it's like, we all, like I said, we all started together. It was me, Max B, Chinks.
Max B, man.
Yeah, me and Max B, Chinks. My brother, Penthouse B, and even the Coke Boys, have Coke Boy Flip, and everybody, Coke Boy Flip died, Chinks died, rest in peace, Max B got 75, my brother got deported, Penthouse is the one I was talking about, and Stay Scheming, he did like 15, he just came home, so it's just like, I'm the only one that was out, you know what I'm saying, so just carrying, carrying the name, carrying the whole wave, so... No, I didn't think. It just felt like we just had that curse on us.
Like you was losing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like every time you win, you lose.
Yeah, definitely.
Damn, we went in Chinks die.
Yeah.
Damn, we in Max go to jail. Damn, we got.
Yeah, it's like every time you celebrate something, you lose something. Right. You know what I mean?
But did Max give back any of that time? Because you see blogs and shit. Max B about to come home.
Max is in the camps now.
Okay.
Yeah, so he in the camp, so he a step closer.
To coming home.
Yeah.
Okay, so he did give us back some of that time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I know I keep hearing you say Max got 75. Yeah, I'm like, damn, the blogs be lying like a motherfucker, keep saying he close to coming home and shit.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? So French, album out.
Yeah, the album out.
What was the mindset? What was the
Harry
mindset?
Fraud?
Me and Harry Fraud, this is our first project together. You know, I always came to him to do like one-offs and shit, like when my back was to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We locked in in Brooklyn.
Harry got you up out of there.
Yeah, I'm back to the wall. We just locked in and we made our best music, man. But this is the first time that everything came full circle. Everybody was waiting for me to make this album, just me and Harry Fraud. I feel like God just wanted me to own 100% of my shit so I can make my best music.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way I could look at it. That's how everything came.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, what's up with my man Mandy Love It, man? Shooting a documentary with you in Morocco and all that. When is that dropping?
I was going to drop it, but me and I let Drake and Jay-Z and them watch it, and Drake was like, he want to executive produce it. So now we're just prepping it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh,
shit, that's big.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, shout out to Drake, man. Splash Bros.
Mm-hmm. That's major.
Definitely. Man. We watched that joint, Turks and Caicos. He lost his mind.
Mm. That's major.
See the light stunts, though. He threw the light stunts out there. We watched it in Turks and Caicos.
What Jay-Z say when you let him watch it?
Man, he was like, that joint was an eye jerker. Like, he almost started crying. Because you got to understand, the documentary is called For Khadijah. It's for my mother. Mm-hmm. When we came from Africa, it's like the real story. It's like we got immigrated to the South Bronx. And my pops came here with the American dream. It didn't work. He dipped out. He was trying to take my mother and leave me behind. My mother was like, she wasn't leaving. So she stayed. So when she stayed, she didn't get to see her brothers and sisters or nobody for like 25 years. You know what I'm saying? So you got that whole, mission from the start, the whole journey all the way to the end. And at the end, you get to see her go back and meet her sisters, and they're crying and this and that. It's like the sacrifice, man.
Yeah.
Because out of Africa, artists don't make it. You know what I'm saying? So it damn near had to be like that, like a mistake of somebody to be a French Montana. Like, I slipped through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. Especially coming to the States not even speaking English.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was too crazy.
Did you go through the African jokes growing up?
Yeah. They used to call me Bonjour. Then after that, that shit ain't stick. They start calling me French. That's how I got French. I used to speak French to all the Africans on my block. It's crazy.
Okay, damn, that's crazy how they get his name.
Yeah.
You was an African booty scratcher at one time?
Yeah, oh God.
Damn, that was crazy. What was looked at as bullying now wasn't even looked at it as like that back in the day.
The world was just jokes.
It was just
the world is sensitive.
Yeah. Everything is sensitive now, man.
Social media got everybody,
Everybody extra sensitive. You can't say nothing to nobody. You can't say nothing. Health. You can't make a joke.
Yeah, mental health.
You can't even play no more, man.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
You know what I mean? I thought, shout out to my brother, Wiz Khalifa. I thought I was playing with him. Wiz took that shit personal. I was like, yo, bro, that shit was a joke, bro. I was on the phone like, bro, that shit was a joke.
I be leaving laughing emojis under niggas' pictures and shit. They be like, oh, you leaving laughing emojis under my pictures?
We beefing now.
I'm like, yo, bro. And the worst shit, there's niggas I start beefing with their man. It's like they unfollowed me. Like, my niggas, I'm like, yo, bro, why would you unfollow me? Like, I'm supposed to give a fuck about that.
Right. That don't even make sense. Like, I had a motherfucker tell me that, damn, dog, you unfollowed me. I said, bro, I never unfollowed the nigga in my life. What the fuck are you talking about, man? And then I had to go to my phone, and the nigga felt dumb as shit. What's your joint, man? Punch his name. What the fuck is you talking about, man? I'm following you. Oh, man, it said you unfollowed me. Man, you on some dumb shit out here, man. The fuck I look like shit. Going unfollowing a
it
nigga?
It seems like everybody obsessed with celebrity. If you doing anything, you got any traction, everybody overly obsessed about if you follow them or not, or if you comment on these stuff. Everything is like...
Yeah,
it's just everything is just so emotional.
Well, yeah,
and men is so emotional with men.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about they emotional with celebrity and men. It's like, bro, it's not that deep. Like,
everything is this social media shit got everything fucked up, man. I got a cousin, man. I actually called this nigga. Happy birthday, cuz. You know.
You ain't throw
him was busting it up with a couple niggas a couple weeks later. Niggas said, yeah, you ain't throw me up, though. And I'm like, nigga, I called
that
you.
That shit happened to me all the time.
I called you in real life, nigga. What do you mean? You my fucking cousin. We grew up together since kids.
Yeah.
You worrying about me posting on Instagram?
No, my own son hit me and told me. He was like, yo, you threw Drake up for his birthday. You ain't throw me up.
Oh, he checked you.
My son.
He checked you.
This is my son. He was like 10 years old when he told me that. I'm like, yo, you 10 years old, you want somebody to kidnap you in school? Like, knowing you my son?
No, the fact that he threw Drizzy in there.
Yeah, he was like, oh, he threw Drake up. You ain't throw me up on my birthday. I'm like, yo. I had to pull him to the side. Like, yo, your mother telling you this?
Yeah.
I was like, see, that's why I'm single.
Your mama telling you this.
Yo, it's crazy.
Yeah, nigga threw
you
Drizzy.
You never know.
Talking to Mike.
Right.
Yeah, you never know. I'm like, is your mother telling you this?
No, nigga threw Drizzy up in there. You put Drake up on his birthday. You didn't throw me up, Dad.
That was real.
Nigga.
That's crazy.
Is your mother telling you this? Nigga, you're 10. You worried about going real. Up on the gram.
The gram, yep.
For real.
Gram is fucked up.
Yeah, that shit crazy, man. And what's so fucked up is a motherfucker really have an attitude. A motherfucker really feel like you don't fuck with them.
Yep.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, And another thing is, like, family, man. Family be tripping about that shit, man.
Yeah.
Family be tripping, man. Motherfuckers, everybody think, like,
Instagram shit.
Motherfuckers don't understand that, like, bro, we running a $50 to $100 million company around here.
Mm-hmm.
This not no play shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is for real shit.
Yeah.
Like, we make a lot of fucking money to do what we do.
And pay a lot of taxes.
Pay a lot of fucking taxes. Our brands is everything to us.
Yeah.
But a motherfucker in your family, they don't never respect that shit.
They think it's just
shit.
A page.
They think it's just a motherfucking.
They don't see the sacrifice.
Man, you don't understand.
They don't see y'all coming here.
Post your cousin up. Throw your cousin up, boy. He got a clothing line. You like,
what the fuck they
got
to do with
you? Go to your cousin page, this nigga got one t-shirt. It's like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, but then it really would be an attitude. Like, you're really, it should have come back to you. Oh, yeah. He too big now. When it's like, no. I worked hard for this.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Niggas had me doing motherfucking security and motherfucking Ross right now.
Yeah, it's a thin line. Yeah, it's a thin line. Because sometimes, you know, you just because somebody's your homeboy or family, they expect you to throw whatever up. They don't know the certain standard that you gotta, you know what I mean, you gotta have to, you know what I mean, for me to put you up. You could be, I put a stranger up if it's gonna benefit whatever I stand for, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta step it up. You got, you know, they could be mad or whatever it is, but like, you could be mad all you want.
But it just don't make no sense.
I'd rather help you out than throw you up.
Yeah. But that don't even. You'll give motherfucker money on their birthday, they still mad. They don't want that. They want to be posted.
Yeah. On Graham.
They want
to
be posted.
You
want
$2,000 and go on the gram. Throw me on the gram. Everybody want fame.
And all popularity. And all of it's about it. And a little interaction for the day. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
You go to, you keep going to a nigga page 1,000 times a day. You read all the comments. These motherfuckers don't know you, man. All these motherfuckers telling you happy birthday. None of this shit really don't mean nothing because these niggas don't know you.
Nope. God.
It didn't. Take nothing, no emotion, no nothing for them to say, oh, happy birthday to Gilly's cousin or Gilly's uncle. So it's like, come on with the dumb shit.
Man. You're never going to meet nobody from the comments.
Right. So for me, it just be like, man, this shit crazy out here, man, this social media shit, man. This shit'll drive you crazy, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
For real, but, man.
Listen, man, we got that motherfucking album out right now.
Your album is out right now.
Right now.
And
what's your favorite joints on it? All of them.
Yeah, Blue Chills, Bricks and Bags, Keep It Real, Bronx Mecca. I mean, the whole tape is just all samples that, you know, people never heard before.
Yeah.
I was a Kanye fan, Dipset fan. So I, you know, I'd be me and Harry Fraud just like go in the crates and find the craziest samples.
But you had a kick out for them joints, don't you?
Yeah,
you
I mean,
pay for a lot of them.
Now that I own 100%, they grab the 10, 15, 20, 30, but I'm not giving nobody like more than 50% publishing.
Yeah.
This and that. But I, you know, when it comes to the art, I'm not cheap with the art. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If I can give somebody the art, I make money off the other joints.
No, let me ask you this question before you get out of here. We had a lot of New York motherfuckers on here. Now we know you from Africa.
Uh-huh.
Nigga, you're from the Bronx.
Yeah,
from the South Bronx.
They say the Bronx is the dirtiest part of New York. Is that the truth?
Dirtiest part, probably Brooklyn.
Oh, I ain't never heard that.
I ain't never heard that one.
Because I know it's a Brooklyn nigga that said the Bronx is the dirtiest part. And so I got to give it right back to them.
It was definitely a Brooklyn nigga. Yo, he good.
He said Brooklyn. I never heard
Brooklyn.
Yeah,
so Brooklyn is the dirtiest part of New York.
Yeah, definitely Brooklyn.
Definitely Brooklyn. Huh?
Brooklyn or Queens, because the niggas be beefing with us.
Damn.
Since MC Shan.
Oh man.
Since the bridge, they've been the dirtiest motherfucking part of New York.
Oh, man.
Well, listen, man, you got it right here. Brooklyn is the dirtiest part of New York. Rest in peace to Biggie.
Baby.
French, man, we want to appreciate you, man, for tapping in, showing us all this motherfucking hospitality, man.
We overdo.
You know what I mean? Y'all going to see, you know, the crib. Y'all going to see the cars. Y'all going to see the lifestyle.
I just ain't going to see the DMs.
DMZ. We coming out with a new show called DMZ.
Stop paying attention to these IG relationships.
It's called DMZ. French's DMs. Yeah, me, we lay your bitch down and spray
a lot of people
going
to be heartbroken. Gonna break a lot of hearts.
French hole, what? No relation. French hole shit is ejaculating in the vacuum.
I gotta chill. Yeah. Nigga, smoke you over a joint before smoke you over some money. We gotta chill.
Yeah, nigga will kill you over a bitch. You hear me? Really? Yeah, especially you be blitzing niggas' bitches like.
Oh, man.
You tackle a nigga bitch like Lawrence Taylor.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yes.
Yo, hyping that shit up.
It is just like that.
Right.